97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're happy you're with us on this Friday morning. Still plenty to get to here. We're going to talk to County Councilman Joe Brazel coming up shortly in the next segment about what's going on in St. Charles County with these flock cameras. That's come to light because of the situation involving an employee of the police department who was accused of and ended up resigning over abuse of that flock system, tracking people they shouldn't have been tracking. So we got that coming up for you still, and we're going to talk a little bit more about AlphaGal and ticks before this hour is up. How about that? That's an hour for you. But right now, we're honored to have former Congressman and Fox News host Trey Gowdy back on the show with a host of Sunday Night in America. And Mr. Gowdy, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. With everything that's going on around the country, clearly you're keeping yourself busy writing books.
Well, I try to keep one eye on the news and one eye on sports, and then, yeah, right. So I guess that means I got three eyes. But, yes, I'm trying to do it all, but I do love to write. Actually, it's probably my favorite thing to do.
Kind of cathartic, right? To get you, and this kind of gets you away from the reality of it. What was it that led you into the thriller realm? Was it all those years of intrigue working in the halls of Congress?
Well, I was a prosecutor for almost 16 years before I ever went to Congress.
Right.
And that, truth be told, is the job that I would prefer that people remember. Like, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to remember me, period. But when they come through the receiving line before they ask my wife out on a date, I hope they say, you know, he was a pretty good prosecutor.
That's good. So I think we had you on when you had your first book out. This is a sequel. Is that correct?
It is both a sequel, but even if you didn't read the first book, you can pick this one up. It's a standalone, but some of the characters are the same.
The Sound of Regret. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, in the first book you referenced, The Color of Death, that kind of explores the real relationship between prosecutors and crime victims. I mean, it's the best prosecutors put themselves in the stead of the victims. It's really hard to do when the victim's dead. It takes a toll on you, actually. This one explores witnesses. I was talking to actually Tim Scott, one of my senators, last night about the choices that we give people in the criminal justice system. So imagine you're a 17-year-old young man, you made a terrible mistake selling drugs, and the prosecutor walks in and says, you can spend 2 decades in prison, or you can become a rat. You can become a witness for me. Put on a wire, go work for me. Sometimes they choose that, and they wind up dead. So the regret and the sound of regret, and I've actually had it happen in real life, is going to tell the parents of a young man who trusted you that their child was killed.
Oh, wow.
Because they were helping the government.
Wow. Well, I'm just curious then, given your legal background, have you been following this whole Lindsey Clancy case? Because
yesterday
I watched all these videos of, I don't know how many, 200 or some odd moms who were out there wearing pink shirts saying they support Lindsey. And it's so contentious because people were talking about, you know, postpartum depression, but then where do we draw the line on how much, you know, sympathy you have for her? It's very interesting.
Yeah, I had moms whose daughters were killed by their boyfriends that came to me and asked me to let them not plead to murder. I don't understand that level of compassion or empathy or sympathy, or maybe even a more pejorative word. My sympathy is with the three kids who never had a chance to even experience their 10th birthday. I can tell you, I've had folks killed by every manner of killing you can conjure. To strangle someone requires time, effort, and commitment. And the fact that you didn't ask for Joan of Arc when you woke up, you asked for your lawyer, tells me, look, I'm not minimizing postpartum depression. I mean, it really happens. But how many of those women go on to kill their children? Mm-hmm. Leave the daggum house. Leave. Go somewhere else. But why do you have to kill the kids?
Yeah. You know, I heard Drew is it Penske? Is that his name? Dr. Drew?
I'm not sure.
Who was on Fox the other night talking about the multitude of medicines that she was on. And I think it was Hannity who said, how does that happen in America that somebody could be on all these different medicines that somehow conflict with each other? And he's like, well, you know, unless you're going to one doctor, she could have been doctor shopping. I mean, we don't know quite what was going on there, but clearly she wasn't getting the care she needed.
Yeah, well, that's when you call the pharmacist to see whether or not she is doctor shopping, because the pharmacist would say, look, you really shouldn't be taking this cocktail. I think when they did call the healthcare experts, they said she never expressed any reservations about the drugs that she was on, and they specifically asked about suicidal or homicidal ideation, and she denied it. I mean, people who are psychotic, do they really tell their husband, hey, go run an errand while I take the time to strangle our three children? Maybe she does need to be in a mental hospital. That's for the jury to decide. But if she's trying to get off, if she's trying to be found not guilty by reason of insanity, I mean, do any of your listeners want her to be their next door neighbor? I don't.
No, I think that's a fair question. We're talking to Trey Gowdy, the host of Sunday Night in America. He's got a new book out called The Sound of Regret. It is a sequel, as he said there a minute ago. I think since we talked last time, first of all, let me give you my condolences on the loss of your friend Lindsey Graham.
Thank you.
And I don't know if you remember this or not. When I had you on the last time, I told you the story that Lindsey asked my wife out one time. Years ago, we worked.
Yes, I do remember that.
Remember that?
Your wife made a really, really good decision. She said no.
I remember you saying that at the time, yes. And I appreciate that. But you know, we had a relationship with him. Obviously, we knew him as well, and it was a great loss to the country and the state of South Carolina. Can I get your comments on the race now? Because I saw where the president is coming to South Carolina today, I think. To campaign for Darlene Graham, and she's been taking a lot of heat. I think she's up against Ralph Norman, another congressman from down there. She's been taking a little bit of heat for her debate performance and some other questions about her experience. What's your take on all that?
I would bifurcate those two, and I talk to Darlene almost every day. Darlene would be the first to tell you she did not handle that question well. And I would be the first to say everyone who speaks for a living makes a mistake. Mm-hmm. From Sophocles to Pericles to Ronald Reagan. So the experience thing I find interesting, because I can count a handful of male senators who started political service in the Senate. And I don't remember a single person commenting on their lack of experience. Donald Trump had no political experience. Dwight David Eisenhower had no political experience. It used to be that we actually wanted people with a fresh set of eyes. Ralph has been in office for 20-something years and has run for two different offices just this year. For a guy that supports term limits, you got to help me understand that. So I think what Darlene's done in 20 days, burying a brother, no interest in politics, to being the lead vote getter coming out of the first primary. Taiwan is our friend, period. China is not, period. But I don't like judging people based on their worst moment or their best moment. I like to take the full body of evidence.
Interesting. Yeah, good. An interesting take on that. I'd not heard it from that perspective. Trey Gowdy, listen, best of luck with the book, the Sound of Regret, and hope we can get you on again soon.
I'd love that. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. Nice talking to you again. Former Congressman Trey Gowdy, former prosecutor Trey Gowdy, because he says that's how he'd like to be remembered.
He had done a lot of things, worn a lot of hats, for sure.
Yeah, and clearly is in the Darlene Graham camp there
in
South Carolina. It's pretty split. I'm anxious to see what happens next week. The president's got a lot on the line, and they need more people like Trey out there defending her.
I think
he did a good job defending her there.
Did.
Now it's up to the people of South Carolina to decide if that's the person they want representing them in the Senate.
The challenge, though, is he's saying you don't want to take someone at their worst moment or their best moment. You kind of want to average it out. But the problem is there's only a select number of times we're going to get a chance to hear her stance on policies and things like that. So unfortunately, there's not really time for that. I mean, we have to take her for her word at this point when it comes to foreign policy and some of these key issues, because she'd be a U.S. senator. This isn't some small, being a state lawmaker is still a very big deal. But I just mean, this is federal. This is a big deal.
I don't know either of them. Tara Servatius is a well-known talk show host down in Greenville, South Carolina. In fact, she hosts at one of our sister stations down there. I've had a chance to meet her a couple times. She's all in for Ralph Norman. I've been watching her on X as the more conservative of the two choices. So we'll see how South Carolina goes. That's an interesting discussion there. All right, coming up, we will get to our Queen of Hearts drawing, and we'll talk to County Councilman Joe Brazel about that whole mess with flock cameras in St. Charles County.
We saw an unusual high number for one of the users. And as we dug into that, they brought that to my attention. I started an internal investigation immediately. And then it was determined, yeah, these weren't law enforcement investigative searches. They were personal.
Yeah, that was Chief Kurt Frizz there talking about what's going on in St. Charles County. The employee who got caught through an audit abusing the flock camera system to track someone she shouldn't have been tracking, resigned or was fired, one of the two, gone, now out of the system. So you could argue the audit worked in St. Charles County, but now what they're doing is pretty much shutting down those flock cameras. We've got St. Charles County Councilman Joe Brazel on the line with us this morning. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm assuming you are in support of getting rid of these cameras, at least as we know them today, correct?
Well, that's correct. Yesterday, I immediately called our county counselor, and Tim Baker and myself are sponsoring a bill to ban all cameras in St. Charles County, and including, there's Syntex, there's Flock is the brand name, and from what I understand, they canceled the contract yesterday, and they did put bags over all of them. So they took immediate action. So that's a good thing. The administration and the police chief and the police department did take immediate action. However, you know, I don't want this to just be some temporary thing and let it cool down and then they just go back at it.
I guess
so. I propose an ordinance to ban them all in the county.
I guess my question is what is, like, I heard the chief say something about the fact that he's sad to lose that tool. So clearly Flock is one. Is there something specific about Flock or the way it tracks things that's different from the, what did you call it, Syntex, the other license plate reader?
Yeah, there's Syntex. Yeah, we have cameras in our parks, too, by all of our parks. And what they say is they're to catch, you know, child pedophiles and stuff like that. And,
yeah,
you know, so, I mean, it's a good thing. You know, here's the thing is, you know, yeah, they're helpful to law enforcement. But you can't give up your liberties like that. It's always one inch at a time. You know, the acorn turns into an oak tree, and you just it just gets worse and worse. And people will argue that, well, they're great for crime investigations. They're great for the robbery. If somebody got abducted, you would want that tool. I agree with all those things. However, there's always going to be abuses, and you can't be giving up your liberties like this. And so, I the flock camera market, from what I said, I understand that they can exchange data, sell data. They can track anybody's car. They'll know where you're going to point A to point B, where you're shopping. I mean, what I understand is they're used not what the intention is. I'm not law enforcement using them for the proper intention, but they can be used through the flock companies in other ways. And so I don't think that's just way too much surveillance for us as citizens in this country. It's just a violation of our liberties and our rights and our privacy, you know?
I think a Brentwood police officer had been investigated, I don't know when, but I would think semi-recently, for using the flock cameras to, I guess, stalk or like look into his ex-wife's whereabouts when they were going through a divorce or something like that. And I don't know what came of that investigation, but I would have to imagine that Brentwood is still using the flock system. So I was a little surprised that because of this one incident that St. Charles County just decided, hey, let's just put an end to it. I mean, do you feel like that's kind of the route that any department should go if there's any sort of an investigation like this or a situation where you have actual misuse?
Well, absolutely, because there's been a lot of people complaining about it, saying that they're over. It's a burden to our privacy anyway. And so in this instance, though, it was a person who was stalking their ex. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And then stalking the ex-partners, whoever this person was dating. Then this person was checking their license plates out. There was like 70 instances or something like that. And so it wasn't just a one or two time thing. It was going on for months. And so, you know, and you know, you, like you said, Mark, you could say, well, the audit did work. Well, yeah, but how many times did they miss this audit? How many times has this gone on without them catching the person? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know. And so I think that I just don't think this is the way we should go. I just don't. It's just, you know, with AI and all this stuff going on, it's just way too much surveillance. It's just way too much invasion of privacy. It's against our constitutional right. We have a right to be wherever we want to be without people knowing where we are. I mean, you know, I mean, that's how I see it.
How do you, know? I know you try to take stock of these things before you go before council with something. Do you feel like you've got any support among the other council members?
Well, I know with Baker, but, and I haven't really spoke to the other ones. We're having a work session on it, but in my view, as being a logical, reasonable person, how could you not? I mean, how could you really think that it's okay to do that? And they could say, well, you had one bad apple in the barrel. Well, yeah, but that's one bad apple that we caught. You know what I'm saying?
Steve Ellman, I saw where Channel 4 reported he was out of town and had not been available for comment. Do you have any idea where he'd come down on this?
I have no idea. I mean, he's got an opponent for a Democrat running against him in the general election, but I don't know if I don't know. I don't know. He may just stay neutral in it. I don't know. I honestly don't know where he'd come down on this. It's really going to be up to the council, though. It's not, he doesn't vote, so it just depends on what we come up with.
Well,
you know,
and these decisions are, it's good that they're made locally. I did see where Senator Nick Schroer put out a press release from the Freedom Caucus saying he would be pushing for a statewide ban on these flock cameras when he gets back to Jeff City.
Well, he was the first person I called when I found out about this, and because we were talking about it before. It's like, this is a problem, man, you know. And, you know, until something like this happens, people think, why do you worry? If someone's watching, I'm not doing anything wrong anyway. Why do you care? Well, you know, come on. I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't break the law, but I still don't think the government should know where you are all the time. It's not just reading. They say it reads the license plate. They put out a license plate and they put that out and it's supposed to read that, but they read everybody's license plate.
Yeah.
Everybody's license plate is read, you know,
Joe,
and they collect data.
I'm running out of time, my friend. Thanks for giving us some time this morning and let us know when this is going to come up for a vote.
Okay. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk soon. County okay. Councilman Joe Brazel there from St. Charles County. Best comment on the comment line this morning was, wait a minute, my phone tracks when I have bowel movements and we're worried about flock cameras. I don't know if that's a correlation or not, but we are monitored in a lot of different ways these days. There's no doubt about that. All right, we'll be back in just a minute.
All right, have you heard of AlphaGal?
Oddly enough, I have, because I know somebody who has it. I've just had this conversation with her recently, in fact.
I had not heard of this until maybe a few months ago, and then when I started Googling it, I realized that this is a lot more common than we think. The cases for AlphaGal across the United States are rapidly on the rise, and there's someone who knows a lot about that, and that is our next guest, Heather Mincer. She and her son, they both have AlphaGal, and that actually inspired her to start her company, Yes Honey. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
So for people who have never heard of AlphaGal, tell us what it is.
So AlphaGal is a tick-borne allergy that if you're bit by a Lone Star tick, you could develop an allergy to mammalian meats and byproducts.
So in other words, when you first got this, after moving to Missouri, in fact, we should point out, relocating here, right, from up on the East Coast somewhere.
Upstate New York.
You thought you had Lyme disease. How did you determine what it was?
I did. I had no idea about AlphaGal, and I was very aware of Lyme disease. Excuse me. And after I knew I had been bit by ticks, and I started having symptoms consistent with Lyme disease. And so one of the ways to combat that in a natural way, combat the symptoms, is eating a carnivore diet. So I was strictly eating mammalian products along with chicken.
Well, that's what's...
and fish.
I was going to say, that's what's so interesting about AlphaGal is, right, you can't have a lot of the meat specifically, right? The red meat?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And so that's what I was eating all of the time, and I was getting more and more sick, and I didn't understand why. And so I finally went to the doctor, and they did a blood test, a simple blood test, and let me know that I had alpha-gal, and I needed to stop eating meat right away.
Yeah, you know, it's something that really, I think, has just popped up on most people's radar, and I would assume that, well, I mean, what is the illness like? Maybe you can describe that to people, but in case somebody's had some of these symptoms and just didn't realize it.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of people are maybe misdiagnosed with IBS or potentially just some other allergies. A lot of times people have gut issues. They just are having vomiting. They might be having diarrhea. They might be having hives. Some people have full anaphylaxis, headaches. The list goes on. I'm not going to be able to hit them all, but it can be pretty intense. And a lot of times people may be going to the doctor and their doctor's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, I don't see anything, because they're not doing the alpha-gal specific, the IgE test. And they, you know, then they're just continuing to suffer and thinking that they're crazy, but they're not. I mean, it very well could be alpha-gal.
Something that's very interesting about this is, and I was talking about how these cases are on the rise, I had no idea that Missouri's governor, Mike Kehoe, had just signed this bill into law, but I think it was back in July, where he made alpha-gal syndrome basically a mandatory reportable condition, meaning if a lab were to detect it, I guess, with blood work like you had done, Heather, then they would have to report the test results to the state.
Yes, which is really great for those of us with alpha-gal, because there's really no good reporting or evidence about how many people actually have alpha-gal. And I think that would be really important for many people to know, but specifically like grocery stores, anybody that produces food, because like in my issue with, well, anybody with alpha-gal, you're going to the grocery store and you're just, especially when you're first diagnosed, you just don't know what you can and can't have. And there's so many, the biggest thing for people with alpha-gal, it's pretty easy to stay away from a steak or ribs or things like that. But it's the hidden ingredients in a lot of foods that people don't realize can be causing them reactions. They might have removed the meats and they're still having something that they would never suspect, or they're using, I've heard of people reacting to certain types of toilet paper because there's some mammalian product in it. So things like gelatin, a lot of people don't think about their pharmaceuticals, their medications that they're on. A lot of them come in gel caps. They may have magnesium stearate. There's just so many ingredients that we really need to be careful about. And not everybody's reactive to the same things. And that's what also makes it unique and somewhat difficult to diagnose, because just different products affect people differently and people's reactions can vary very dramatically as well.
Sure. We're talking to Heather Mentzer. She suffers from alpha-gal and is the founder of a company called Yes Honey. And before we get into the company, I have to ask, like, what was your background coming into this? Was your passion for what you're doing now driven by your illness, or did you already have a background in like nutrition and things like that?
Well, my family has gone through a lot of different health journeys, I guess I could say, and just doing a lot of research for our own benefits and just trying to find out things that were better for us. And that kind of morphed into our changing over all of our sugars. We switched over to honey and maple syrup. We were pasture raising chickens, raising a lot of our own meat, vegetables, things like that. And that's where my company got its start.
Okay. So before we get started on that, please tell me that it was your husband, Marty, who came up with the name, because he always says, yes, honey. That would have been smart on his part.
Yeah. That's what we say with the brand all the time, is that yes, honey is what every woman wants to hear.
Yep.
And people can remember the brand that way because everybody uses that term. It's very endearing.
But tell us about the company, because the products you have, I guess, are not, I mean, just for people who have alpha-gal, but it's supposed to be alpha-gal safe, right?
Exactly, yeah. So my thought was that our products are for everybody, but with special thought to those who have alpha-gal or any type of allergy, because we're also gluten-free, free of artificial dyes, colors, and flavors. So we are beekeepers, and also honey, that's obviously part of the brand, is very important to us. And so I have a line of honey-sweetened sodas. So not only are they great for people with allergies, but people that might be trying to get rid of things with corn, high fructose corn syrup, maybe they don't prefer stevia. So we offer a really light and refreshing soda that people can actually feel good about. And we also have a line of honey drizzlers, which is our sauce and syrup alternative. It has two or three ingredients. We have multiple flavors, and you can use them somewhat like a sauce. So like we have a chocolate honey, which is phenomenal, and it's a great alternative to like a chocolate syrup that might have 20 ingredients that you may be unsure about.
Wow. So you guys live where? Norwood, Missouri? Is that what it's seen?
Norwood? Yep. Norwood, Missouri. We're about an hour east of Springfield.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good. So tell people more about how they can find out about your brand and where they can get it. Is it all through the internet, or are you in stores now?
Well, yeah, we're in about 500 stores across the country. Hy-Vee is one of our major grocery stores. We sell in Fresh Time in St. Louis and some other retailers. We've all over in Springfield. And then they are certainly welcome to go to our website, which we love, which is yeshoneybrand.com. They can find us on Amazon. And we would love a follow, too, on social media, yeshoneybrand. Yeah.
Heather, let me ask one last question about Alpha Gal. Is there an end to it? Didn't I understand the person I know that has this led me to believe that the symptoms obviously prevent you from eating meat, but there's a possibility you might be able to get back to that. Am I correct about that?
Yes, there are two things. One is that some people just grow out of it.
Okay.
I've had a number of people that I know that after 5 years, and like this isn't a hard, fast rule, but it just happened for them about 5 years in, it just started to go away and they were able to eat meat again, which is fantastic. And the other option is something called SAT, S-A-A-T. It's an acupuncture treatment. Some tiny little acupuncture needles go in your ear. And it can help alleviate the symptoms of alpha gal. It doesn't make alpha gal completely go away, but a lot of people have had success where they're able to eat meat, or some people are fume reactive. So if you're cooking a burger in your home, they could have pretty significant symptoms, vomiting, headaches, things like that. And that SAT treatment may help alleviate those symptoms for them. So people have been finding a lot of benefit from doing the SAT treatment.
Fascinating stuff. And Heather, thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, take care of yourself. I appreciate getting you on here. Founder of the company Yes Honey, which I'm sure you could Google and find more details on. She said Fresh Time in St. Louis.
Yep. It's just so wild.
The product.
You can be smelling it and that can cause a reaction. It's not like you have to eat it or touch it.
Yeah.
And I do know of somebody who had it, she did all kinds of, really crazy as in like a lot and very expensive treatments. And she was able to get over it within like a year or two. But the average Joe probably wouldn't want to maybe spend that much time or money. She had the time. She's an influencer. So she had the time and money, I guess, to do it. But it is, it is no little thing how your life would flip upside down if you had that.
I agree. Back to the bill you were talking about there, what the governor signed, Nick Schroer texted me and said that was part of his bill, and also the Lyme Disease Eradication Act that the governor signed.
Did not know that.
He put that in there to begin with. All right, quick break. We will be back here in just a minute with our Queen of Hearts drawing. I just got to say, besides the stupidity of her political positions, that voice might doom her there. We'll see what happens. Anyway, thought I'd play that for you. All right, have yourselves a great Friday. Enjoy that weather. Kim and Ethan and I will be back here Monday morning at 5 a.m. We'll see you then. Kilmeade's up next.
Yeah, boy!
Get more at 971talk.com.